you don't like hunting, fishing, cooking, and the outdoors, you might want to find another podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of Southern Boys Outdoors Podcast here from the Southern Boys store located at 11318 Highway 190, Hammond, Louisiana. Telephone number 225-209-0945. Y'all make sure y'all stop by, hang out with us here at the Southern Boys store because you know what we always like to say. You never know what's coming up next here on Southern Boys Outdoors. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Southern Boys Outdoors Podcast from the Southern Boys store. Today, guys, we're talking about coon hunting, and we got special guests, as always, in the house, Big L Leon Stilley.
I'm here again.
Here again. Employee of the month.
With the sign to prove it.
The sign on our own parking spot. And today, we got David Cleveland. David is a big-time coon hunter right here in Albany, Louisiana. They travel all over the country coon hunting. Him and his family get out there and really get after the coons and enjoy it. So, David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if I'm a big-time coon hunter, but we've made our way around the South here with my son's dog.
That's right. Well, that's the main thing is that getting out and hunting coons, you know, because one of the first coon hunts I ever did. My grandpa, you know, I seen pictures of my grandpa coon hunting and coon dogs and all that. Well, I never really coon hunted a couple times, but the first television show I filmed was a coon hunt in Greensburg, Louisiana with Tommy Windham, and his dog was named Hoot. Oh, Hoot. Well, and you hook to him, Hoot, Hoot, Hoot to him, Hoot. That's what we was hollering. Oh, Hoot. And, I told Tommy, I said, now, look, we filming a coon hunting show. You got to have all your coon hunting gear, your light, your bags. You got to look like a real coon hunter when we get out there, Tommy. And the first thing Tommy does, we tree a coon, and he forgets his bullets for the gun.
Oh, no. I've done that before, too.
You know, but over the years, I've noticed on our Spy Point trail cameras, more and more and more and more coons. And Leon, you might want to elaborate on that a little bit about how many coons are showing up at your spot now.
Oh, yeah, it's just right there on my little place here in Livingston Parish. Three different cameras will have 8 to 12 coons every night. And that's three different locations and all three different sets of coons. You know, we got a lot of coons right here where my place is at anyhow. And, of course, you know, you put the corn out to feed the wildlife, but the coons will add to your bill for sure.
They eat a lot of corn.
A lot of corn. And even in Greensburg, I got a bunch of coons, and behind my house, I got a bunch of coons, and that's pretty much a clear cut behind my house. I mean, I think it's about 4 years old now, and unbelievable amount of coons that's inside of that little timber there, that little pine thicket. It's crazy.
I've learned what hunting coons with our dog is that I'm amazed at how far a raccoon will travel to get some corn. And you think they're treed up right there, but you'll run them a mile, 800-900 yards, and then you'll find them in their den tree or in a nest.
Right.
And it just amazes me how far they'll travel just for corn.
You saying that a coon, he'll travel a mile to a feeder to eat at night?
Yes, he will.
I mean, that's unbelievable, especially with those little short legs they got.
But that's a lot of walking.
They can cover some ground, though. So
yeah, one of the things, and you know, I don't think no matter what we do to control the coon population on our hunting land, our property, I don't think we'll ever rid them all the way out.
No, and you don't want to. I mean, you know, you want a certain amount of coons, just like you want a certain amount of hogs.
Right.
You know, you want to control them is what you want to do.
Right. Because, I mean, where we hunt at, there's the turkey population hadn't been that great. Since we started coon hunting there a few years ago, I've noticed on my spy points, we got a lot more poults on camera.
Right.
You see a lot more turkeys just riding around. It's like any animal that's native to that area. You don't want to eradicate them and mess up the ecosystem.
A lot of the coon hunters that I notice, they don't actually shoot the coon. They'll tree it and applaud themselves, pat themselves on the back, and they don't harvest that coon. They don't kill that coon. I don't know if they should coon hunters be killing every coon they tree, or should they What is your thoughts on that, David?
Coon hunting in the competition world is it's a dying sport. You see a lot of the older fellas just doing it a lot. Like my son, when he was 16, he got into it, just wanted a coon dog with a red fern grows. And then he trained his dog and got her up. And then somebody recommended he put her in competition. And lo and behold, he won. So we got involved in the competition world. And there's a lot of money to be made in stud fees and these different competitions. Now they have different registries called, like PKC is Professional Kennel Club. I mean, it's a strictly money hunt. So you pay a cash entry fee, and then you run for money. Oh. And you don't kill the coon, so you just have to spot the coon and move on. So if you're coon hunting, you want to train your dog not to be able to anticipate and wait on a coon to fall out the tree after you shoot. You won't be able to call that dog off the tree and move and recast and go tree another coon.
I got pictures of my grandpa with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 coons that they killed at night. And I don't know if his dogs back then would understand, like, okay, we ain't shooting this one. We're going to let this one here go.
Right.
I don't know if the dogs back then understand like the dogs of today understand, I guess. I don't know.
I know one of the requirements for a coon hunter on my property is, you know, you have to kill the coon if you tree it. You know, I want the coons controlled on my place. And, right. You know, if you go in there and tree coons, that's fine. I mean, that's the game. But also kind of do your part as a conservationist, you know, control the herd, so to speak.
Right.
We do get calls or text messages for landowners to come out that has like with you, and they'll call and say, hey, y'all want to come up here and thin out the coons for us? And it's like, well, yeah, my dog needs exercise, needs right. work. I need to practice on my handling skills, because when you go to, you have to be able to handle a dog, meaning you have to, you know, follow the rules that the different registries have, whether or not like it's UKC or PKC competitions. So it's your chance to go in and practice. You know,
right.
As a competition hunter, you really kind of look forward to those invites, because you're not having to shoot all your coons that you train your dogs on.
Right. I can stay on our place.
Right.
And I don't have to spend hours trying to find a coon, because the dog did all the work and you hate to leave the tree, but we do have jobs. So you don't want to sit there for 30, 45 minutes waiting to try and shoot a coon out, to spot a coon.
Right.
You just move on to the next tree.
You know, and talking about like shooting the coons and stuff like that, do you eat the coons?
I have in the past, but I don't eat anymore. They're greasy.
Right.
The laws around it, you have to have a permit in order to sell the meat and stuff. So we usually will save the hides and use them for training puppies or
right.
or well, do whatever.
I hear you gotta leave a foot on the coon. I know I used to get requests from some people. You know, if you see a coon, get me one. Just leave a foot on it.
Right.
What's the thought process behind that?
Well, it was explained to me a long time ago, because I walked in, being a paramedic, I walked into a house and I saw this critter sitting in somebody's sink, and I seen that foot, and I'm like, what is that? And they were like, this raccoon. You have to leave the foot on it so you know it's a raccoon and not a dog or a cat.
Really? So that means yeah. that has happened.
Yeah.
For that to be a thing, that means that somebody was passing off a cat or a dog as a coon to somebody.
And I know I've killed them bow hunting and gun hunting, and I'd bring them to the store there in Greensburg, and heck, they would take them as soon as you pull it out of the truck. You know, you see a couple guys around the gas pump or whatever, say, hey, anybody want a coon? And shoot. Had an old man one time, and he come walking out of the store, and he was walking with a cane, and he was just kind of wobbling along there with his cane, you know. And when I stepped up in the back of my truck and I picked up that big old coon, it probably weighed 20 pounds, it seemed like, you know. I picked him up and I said, anybody want a coon? That old man flipped that walking cane underneath his arm and took off running.
It was a miracle.
He took off running to my truck for that coon, you know.
That happened to my son. They were with Micah. They come back from a coon hunt at my in-law's property, because like where we hunt at, we're not allowed to hunt during deer season. We're running dogs, but my in-laws have some property that they own up in Wilmer, so we'll go up and hunt up there during deer season just to get the dogs some exercise. They were coming back through the town and was getting gas, and somebody asked him, was like, what kind of dog is that? And I was like, that's a coon dog. It's like, well, you got any coons? Like, yeah, we got two of them. Can I have them? Yep, you can have them.
So, yeah. They're pretty easy to get rid of.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people eat them. I mean, I know my grandpa used to love eating them. They would barbecue them. So.
Oh, if it's cooked right. I remember I was probably 13 years old, 14, somewhere along through there, and some friends of the family, you know, invited us over for supper. Well, you know, as a kid, you know, you don't care. Well, anyhow, I'm eating this sauce pecan, and it is delicious. I mean, I'm eating it. And then they tell me what it was, and it just, it's a mental thing, you know?
Yeah.
I got it.
Kind of like Anna coming up here with the Nutri-Rat.
Yeah. Yeah. We took one for the team for her and tried it.
Well, I got a recipe I need to bring, get one and save it, bring it up here. I'll put it on one of these Traeger grills and some maple flavored raccoon.
Come on.
Barbecued.
Oh, we have to try that.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
I've never skinned a coon. I don't know that much about coons, but I've never skinned a coon. But they say when you're skinning them, they got these
muscle
glands. Yeah. That you have to remove on them. And where do you know where they located at, David?
No, my son usually does all that.
He does
isn't
all
it,
that.
Isn't it like 28 of them? Or
it's a lot.
I think it's over 20 glands in that coon that you got to get out.
Right. You know, one of the things about trying to control the coons on my property is you can trap them and then try to relocate them. And I got these traps. And the coons can go in it. When they go in it, they push the door, and the door goes back up and closes. And then I can just take the handle on top, carry it over by Leon's house, and open it up.
And that explains why I have 20 to 30 coons a night on the three of my cameras.
Yeah,
yeah, you can bring that to me then, because we'll go relocate them out to my in-laws. We run during deer season. We got excited one night and killed, I think, three coons up there at my in-laws. And then my son and I was like, oh, we done messed up. You know, we have to relocate some.
You
got to
replenish them. Yeah.
Now they also got a trap that actually kind of buries in the ground, and you put corn down in it, and when that coon sticks his hand in there, and it grabs his hand, his foot or whatever, it grabs it, and it can't pull it back out.
I know somebody hunts like that or traps like that, and they trap for the meat for the fur.
Right. You know, because used to back our grandfathers all done it. They sold the coon hides. They were valuable. They hit.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know how much they go for nowadays.
I don't know. I followed a couple of guys from up north around Michigan and stuff, and they still trap a lot of coons and kill a lot of coons for the fur.
Right.
I don't know what they go for, but they're still, I guess, up there in the north, there's still a market for them.
I know in North Missouri, I have a friend that does some trapping up there. Those coons up there are still bringing $30 and $40 a hide.
Dang.
But the reason is those hides are so thick, and the animal is so big. The hides are worth more. Now, I know when I was in high school, I had a couple trap lines there at the house where I was raised up at. I'd go every morning before school, or every other morning, whatever, before school, and run my trap line. Well, back then, you'd get $18, $19 for a good coon hide. But from what I understand now, I mean, you can't hardly get $5, $6 for one now.
Right.
Nobody around here that I know of still buys hides right here locally. I know Mr. Junior Thompson bought them when we were in kids, you know.
There's some people around that has like puppy pens for training puppies and coon dogs, and like kind of like fox pens have the puppy pens.
Right.
They'll buy a live coon from you, just give them away because it's, you know, hopefully get the opportunity to go run my puppy in there if I have to or need to.
You know, and one of the things about coon hunts, I've been on maybe three, and probably the funnest one was with Tommy filming the first Southern Boys Outdoors show. I kind of elaborated on that and told about that. We ended up killing three coons that night and really had a great time. But what I took out of that was the first time I ever filmed something for television. So it was a great hunt, and laughed at Tommy because he's kind of comical and, you know, had a great hunt. But, you know, Leon, have you been on any coon hunts?
When I was a kid, everybody had some sort of hunting dog. And therefore, one summer at night, we would go out with our old dog, and it might tree a possum, it might tree a coon, whatever. But we always went and always had a good hunt. But the one that I remember the most, the dogs were running. They hadn't treed yet, but they was getting on out ahead of us. So we started following them behind them. Well, while we were going to them, they ended up treeing, okay? Well, we get up there, and I'm telling you, at 12 feet, there was a flock of turkeys roost. And we busted those turkeys out. And, of course, I mean, a turkey will scare you in the daytime with the noise that they make. But at night, not expecting it, those turkeys sounded like bombs leaving, you know, just blah, 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 blah.
Especially when it's dark and you can't see what's going on.
Wasn't expecting it. And I always think about that, hon. I remember right where it was at and everything, right up there off of Hubert Stilley Road. I remember right where it was at. But, yeah, those turkeys were roosted right there where the dogs treed the coon.
And David, well, would you like to share one of your favorite coon hunts of all time?
I've got a lot, but there's one that comes to mind. That one of the most fun things about it is just the hanging out with my son's friends and right. other people. We'll sit on a tailgate of a truck and just talk and visit and have a good old time and tell stories, hunting stories, fishing stories. But there was a time we had two of Micah's closest friends turn the dog loose. We was running solo by ourselves. She was still in the training phase. She went off in there about 650 yards and treed through a pine thicket, but it was in the pine thicket was a nice little pin oak tree. So we sitting there, and it was me and Micah and his two friends. We walk all the way in there to get there, and she's done chewed the bark off the tree, just hammering down one after another. We shine the tree, can't spot no coon. One of Micah's friends says, like, well, there's no coon up there. And it's like, that dog, you calling my dog a liar? Because she's not lying. She's telling you there's a coon up in that tree. So he's like, Micah's like, well, climb it. So he straps his pistol on, climbs up the side of the tree and gets all up in there. And he's sitting there. He said, I hate to tell you, there ain't no dog. There ain't no coon in this tree. And I'm just like, there is a coon. There's got to be. I said, she's telling you there's a coon in that tree. He gets in there and he's like, oh, hold on. He done climbed over the top of the, it was so thick that he climbed over the coon and he was looking back down at the coon. He said, y'all back away from the tree and get the dog. He said, it's underneath me. And he shot this coon out the tree. The coon hit the ground and then ran up almost the leg of his other friend. So we're all laughing and cutting up, and the dog finally catches the coon. Right. And we finish it off, put it out of its misery. But, you know, it was fun because the boys were like, that dog's lying. It's like, no, that dog ain't lying. You know, there's a coon up there.
That's right.
It just reminds me of them old Jerry Clower stories.
That's what I was about to say. That story's got Jerry Clower written all over it.
It does, and it happened, come to life in true life with us.
And some of y'all hadn't listened to Jerry Clower tell his coon hunting story. Y'all need to look him up on YouTube. Jerry Clower,
Rural Route 4, Liberty, Mississippi.
That's right.
I used to work in a grocery store as a teenager that he did his shopping in.
Yeah.
In Macomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to see him on stage at the Grand Ole Opry one time.
Really?
Front row seats. He come down and got to shake his hand and all that, man.
I'm jealous.
I was in another world, boy.
See, where my hunting property in Mississippi is actually Rural Route 4, Liberty, Mississippi. Probably 2 miles south of East Fork, Mississippi is where my Amite County property is. And you'd be surprised the people that come through there and know who Jerry Clower is. I was up at the hamburger stand one day and there in Liberty, and a couple old boys was coming in from Florida or somewhere to do something. And they saw the hometown of Jerry Clower or whatever, and they got out and took pictures, and they just couldn't believe that they were in Rural Route 4, Liberty, Mississippi.
That's right.
Hey, David, a while ago you was talking about the dog going 650 to 800 yards to a mile. Do y'all have tracking collars on your dogs?
Yeah, there's several different brands. We bought what's called a Dog Trail Pathfinder. It works off an Apple phone and a little receiver around your neck and around the collar. And it was just something easy for my son because, you know, these teenagers are iPhone savvy now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He could track it on there. But we're fixing to upgrade a more expensive tracking system because this next dog that I'm fixing to train, I'm going to hopefully get him to where he'll go out of range a little bit farther. The dog trail is only good for – it advertises for a certain distance, but it doesn't work that far.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the things I think nowadays with all dog hunting, whether it's deer, rabbit, whatever it is, they pretty much have those tracking collar systems on them dogs.
Yeah, and that goes to show you how much things have changed since we were kids, because we were the tracking collars back in the day. Well, we had to stay with them.
We had deer dogs, and our deer dogs would, you know, you turn them loose and you wouldn't run deer. And then when they got done, if you didn't kill a deer and couldn't catch them up, they just came back to the house.
Yeah.
It might be a couple of days later.
Yeah, you just rode around all night looking for them.
Yeah, right. You deer hunted for 20 minutes and looked for dogs for 18 hours.
Yeah, that's right. Really, we're not teaching anybody out there listening, like, how to get rid of the coons or what they can do to get rid of the coons on our property. Because, you know, with all the state laws and regulations, there's really not a way that you can really get rid of them except for go out and hunt them at night, trap them and relocate them, and check with your wildlife and fisheries about the rules and regulations in your area or in your state to make sure you're following all those rules and regulations on trapping or hunting coons.
Yeah, it's always a good idea to check the regulations out, because you might be doing something that you think's perfectly okay, and according to the law, it won't be.
Yeah, we went to a competition about 2.5 years ago, and we got there, and it was over in Washington Parish, and it was actually a meat hunt. So they wildlife fisher was there. Had an agent there. He was checking everybody's hunting license, checking their weapons and stuff, make sure you had the proper gun to shoot the coons with. And everybody was licensed hunters.
Right. And then when you said meat hunt, y'all was killing them then. Y'all,
right. Yeah. This was a large hunting lease that was doing, they put this on to thin out the coon and possum. So you,
right.
They gave away dog food and thinks a little bit of money.
That's a great thing there, especially like if you have a big hunting club. I know like Dwayne and them, Mitchell and them over at Bear Creek, they got some coon hunters in their hunting club. And Dwayne, he's always kind of messing with them, talking about they don't never kill no coons or whatever. But
right.
I don't think most of them boys over there want to kill them. They just want to hear the dogs run and look at them in a tree.
They got some competition boys over there. It's a big time competition.
Yeah.
They got some big time coon hunters that hunt over there with Dwayne.
So yeah. they don't want to really kill the coons, but you got to kind of control your population on your property and your hunting clubs and stuff like that. So I don't think when you see an 8, 9, and 10, and I seen up to 15 to 20 coons from a trail camera. And I just think that when you see in that many coons, you need to start thinning them out. You need to start killing a few.
Yeah. Because you think about it, that camera is pointed in a 40-yard wide area in just one little bitty part of a big area. So if that camera has 15 or 20, well, it's like I said earlier, I had three cameras out in completely different locations and would have 8 to 12 coons at each camera at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's one of the big things, I think, is it depends on the area and if you like coon hunting or not, I guess, you know, I mean, I don't know the answers of trying to, like, hey, if you got a coon problem, what you need to do to control it. I don't know except for go get out and go hunt them, trap them, relocate them. I think you can get trapping license and keep the furs and sell the furs, whether they $5 or $6 a piece. And you can also sell the meat.
Right.
I think if you get the proper license
to
be able to sell the meat, you can sell it. There's a market and it's not big as it used to be, but there's still a market out there for coon hides and coon meat out there.
Well, I know my place has a few coons on it, and I'm hoping I can talk old David into coming out there and helping me get rid of some of them. Well,
I'm going to have to load the dog box up tonight. We'll be over there.
That's what y'all going tonight, huh?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan for me, too. I'll bring that old red bone out there. We'll get her done.
See if y'all can't thin them out some.
Yep.
Hey, guys, David, any last words here on Southern Boys Outdoors you'd like to add?
No, just thank y'all for having me out here, and enjoy coming over to visit all the time. I live right up the road. You know, it's just coon hunting. It's not always about you want to thin out the population some, but there's a lot of fun. And it's an old tradition. It's a dying tradition, and we need some more of these younger fellows to get in there and start coon hunting.
That's right. And Leon, you got any closing words here?
Well, just, you know, we're on the topic of coons. Just if everybody just do their part and abide by the state regulations and help control some of these coons.
That's from a turkey hunter.
Coming from a turkey hunter.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the coon population on their property and stuff like that, what the coons do. And the coons will hinder the turkey population some, which everything, you know, I mean, you got a hen that's on the ground with her eggs. So hogs that come along there, coons that come along there.
Snakes.
Crows, anything like that, snakes.
Yeah,
we'll get to those turkey eggs at their most vulnerable time. How old does a turkey need to be to fly up or get away from?
I'd say probably 6 weeks, six weeks old.
So from the time that hen lays that egg to the time that turkey can get away is almost about 2 months.
Yeah, because that turkey needs to get on up there pretty close to, you know, like a little bantam rooster or something. It needs to get 8 or 10 inches high, you know, of height on it so it can reach high enough in a roost to escape varmints or predators, I should say.
So, you know, that's one of the things, you know, the coons are on those. So we don't have all the answers like, we can tell you how to rid all the coons from your property. We can't tell you that. We can tell you to get out, get after them and hunt them. And bring your family, bring your kids, get them involved in coon hunting. If you was looking to purchase a coon dog or something like that, I'm sure you can find them online. You can look up David Cleveland, Albany, Louisiana on Facebook. And David, he loves coon hunting. And if
red bones.
Red Bones, if you got property that you want coons hunted on and thinned out some, I guarantee you David will be ready to jump on them coons and get after
them. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Leon, anything else?
No, that about wraps it up for me.
David, anything else?
No, that about wraps it up for me, too. I'm just ready to go to Leon tonight and see what we can get treed.
That's right.
Hey, guys, we appreciate everybody tuning in to Southern Boys Outdoors podcast here at the Southern Boys store located at 11318 Highway 190, Hammond, Louisiana. Y'all come see us. And if y'all like to be part of the podcast, give us a call at 225-209-0945. Thank y'all.